again, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in this week to the Good Cheer program. I'm Chauncey Griffith, and I'm so glad to have you along. Hey, this week and every week, the Good Cheer program is brought to you in part by the Kentucky National Guard. Text KYGUARD to 95577 to join. And as always, let's make sure we remember them in our thoughts and in our prayers. And we're just thankful for the Kentucky National Guard for not only sponsoring this show, we say it every week, but we're thankful for them for doing what they do and the fine men and women who are part of the Kentucky National Guard, because without them, we know we wouldn't be able to be here doing what we're doing, and we're very, very thankful for that. Hey, I hope you're having a great week. I know I sure am. I told this joke the other day to my son. I guess you would call it a joke. I don't know. It's pretty corny. We were on our way to school. Both of my sons were in the back of the truck, and my older son, Brantley, hey, he's pretty sharp. He caught right on to this one. I don't know why I felt like I should tell it on the show, but I'm going to anyway. I said, hey, Brantley, have you ever thought about this? Noah and his family, they were on the ark for so long. I wonder if they ever went fishing. And without even missing a beat, he said, Dad, probably not. They only had two worms. But I digress. Hey, I hope you're having a great week. Don't forget, you're happy when you're laughing. Here's Mark Bishop.
This is Mark Bishop, and you're happy when you're laughing. There was a man who entered the monastery, and the high priest said, Brother John, you're going to be living here every day in the Temple of Silence. You've got to swear a vow to be able to stay here in this place. Brother John agreed, and he spent an entire year there in the monastery living in silence. After his first year, the high priest went to him and said, Brother John, you've been faithful to your vow of silence. I give you permission to speak two words. Brother John thought a bit, and then he said, Hard bed. The high priest said, I'll get you a better mattress. Another whole year went by, and John kept his vow of silence. The priest came to him again and said, You've been a faithful steward. I allow you to speak two more words this year. John looked at him and said, Bad food. Another year went by, and the priest called Brother John into the office and said, Again, you've been faithful. Again, I give you two words. Brother John said, I quit. The priest said, Well, maybe it's best. You ain't done nothing but complain since you got here.
That one might or might not be a repeat. I think I've played that one before, but I tell you what, it's really true. You're happy when you're laughing. I'm thankful for Mark Bishop for letting us use his program here on our program, and I hope you enjoy it. We get good feedback for the You're Happy When You're Laughing segments, and we'll continue to play them as long as people like to hear them. I know I sure get a kick out of them sometimes, and that was one of the funnier ones. Anyway, back on January the 1st, I haven't really talked much about it here on the program. Kristen, my wife, and I, and our two boys, I accepted a calling to Oakland Avenue Baptist Church down in Catlettsburg, Kentucky, to become the youth leader down there, and I've been doing that. We've been doing that for, going on 4 months now, and I tell you what a blessing. It's been awesome. You know, God puts things in your life and puts people in your life and puts you in situations. And, man, this has truly been a blessing. And we're thankful for it. And we're looking forward to seeing where things go. Anyway, I said that to say this. One of the things I've been doing here lately on Sunday evenings, we've been doing a series on some of the historical figures out of the Bible. A lot of them out of the Old Testament. People who we want to be like. People who would be great individuals to model parts of our lives after. And one of those is out of the Old Testament, out of the book of Judges. It's a lady by the name of Deborah. A lot of us know about Deborah, and some of us may not, and that's okay. Deborah was out of the Old Testament, out of the book of Judges. And specifically, we're looking at Judges chapter 4, verses 1 through 24. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to kind of paraphrase, summarize here. First of all, though, Deborah was known to be a wife. She was a judge. She was a prophetess. And most importantly, though, she was a woman of faith. She had faith in God. She heard from God and would carry out his instructions no matter what it was he told her to do. And sometimes it was easy stuff. A lot of times it was hard stuff, stuff that a lot of people would have problems doing. Anyway, one day God told her to go find this guy named Barak, B-A-R-A-K, Barak, and tell him to take with him 10,000 men and go to Mount Tabor. And there God would help him and the Israelites defeat the Canaanites, an army who had been giving them hard times, we'll say, for several years. And Barak, he had his army, but he was afraid. The fact of the matter is, the Canaanites were tough dudes. And Barak didn't really want to lead his army. He didn't really want to go, and he begged Deborah. Basically, he was saying, please go with us. I'm scared to go without you. And eventually, he begged her to go, and she agreed to do it and told him that God had already gone ahead of him. That's Judges 4:14, if you want to look that up. And at the end of the day, it was because of Deborah's faith and her zeal and the way she acted on God's word that hey, the Israelites won the battle. As a matter of fact, it was a crushing victory, we'll say. They won it big time. It's no doubt that we face our own version of difficulties every day, all of us. And even though we might not be going into a physical war, like actually going into a battle like the Israelites were, there's no question that we'll be faced with attacks spiritually. Think about that. But the fact of the matter is, we just got to take God at his word. And we do that through our faith. Because think about this, being fearful, drawing back, that'll only hinder us. Kind of like Barack, if he would have been too afraid to go, luckily he had Deborah, but if he would have been too afraid to go, who knows? Who knows what would have happened? As Christians, we're supposed to act on faith. We're supposed to take that leap or that step of faith. And if we do that, it's a guarantee that we'll be able to watch the enemy be defeated. May not always be easy. Matter of fact, there's a pretty good chance it won't always be easy. The battle's not ours. It belongs to the Lord, and that's pretty good stuff if you ask me. Really, we can learn a lot from Deborah, and people like Deborah, people throughout the Bible who acted on faith. They were fervent in prayer. Now, among the judges of Israel, Deborah was unique. Not only did she lead by example, but she was also bold. She was assertive and obedient in both her personal and public life. She was also a wife and a warrior, a prophetess, a songwriter. She did all kinds of things, but everything she did, she proved faithful. She did it all in faith. What we need to take away from this is that the lesson is God's ultimate call for his creation, each and every one of us, is obedience. We all wear all kinds of hats. I'm a teacher, a youth leader. I talk on the radio. My wife's a nurse. We all have different things we do. And we fulfill so many different roles in our lives, mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, sons, daughters. But whatever we do, whatever role we're in, our relationships or our families, whatever it happens to be, God calls us to be faithful. And we're supposed to be obedient in all areas of life, big, small, public and private, at all times. Sometimes it's easy to forget that when we're alone, we're in private. That's an important reminder. Everything we do, we're supposed to be obedient. And I do want to throw in there, too, even though Deborah's courage is legendary. I mean, this lady was fearless. But there's a reason she was fearless. Her confidence didn't come from her ability or from the army that the 10,000 men that Barak and Israel had behind them. In fact, Israel was outnumbered. But while the opponent, the enemy, they trusted in the might or the power of their army, Deborah trusted in the power and the provision of God. And she knew God wasn't just for Israel. He'd gone before him. He was all the strength that she needed to take action. And the cool thing is, she didn't just take action. She got the job done, but she also inspired other people. She inspired other people to step out on faith as well. And actually, you can go to Judges 5:14 and read that. You know, I shared about Deborah with the youth group at Oakland Avenue, and Deborah's definitely somebody who played an incredible role in the history of Israel, and she's gone on to become one of the most influential women in all of Scripture. But it's not Deborah, it's not Barak, it's not any human who deserves glory or praise. These people aren't the heroes of the story or the ultimate saviors of Israel. That role is reserved for one person, and that's God in heaven, and him alone, before whom the mountains quaked at the presence of the Lord. That's Judges 5:5. That's good stuff right there.
I can tell you wanna trust your feelings. Right now you're feeling like all hope is lost. Your dreams have run aground and left you stranded in the middle of a broken heart. But there's a way out of the darkness. There's a light that never fades. There's a peace beyond understanding. His name is Jesus. There's a voice that's always calling. There's a truth to set you free. There's one who died to give us salvation. His name is Jesus. Mm-hmm. and Roman nails were waiting. Still he chose to be lifted on that tree, to die and rise and sit beside the Father, making sure for you and me. There's a way out of the darkness. There's a light that never fades. There's a peace beyond understanding. His name is Jesus. There's a voice that's always calling. There's a truth to set you free. There's one who died to give us salvation. His name is Jesus. Call on him. He knows your name. It's never too late to begin again. There's a way out of the darkness. There's a light that never fades. There's a peace beyond understanding. His name is Jesus. There's a voice that's always calling. There's a truth to set you free. There's one who died to give us salvation. His name is Jesus.
If you were on a quiz show and the question was about Queen Esther, how many of you could answer it? A lot of us know a little bit about her, but one thing that I figured out lately about Esther is that she's another one of those historical figures in the Bible who had a lot of faith, and she's somebody we could all definitely pattern some aspects of our lives after. If I die, I die, but I must see the king. These were famous words that she spoke. Esther was a Jewish woman. She was one of the young maidens. The Bible tells us that she was one of the young maidens who was in the running to be the wife of Queen Xerxes. And actually, it ended up she got chosen because of her beauty. He was charmed by her beauty, the Bible says. But after she was chosen, her cousin slash adopted father, Mordecai, told her not to reveal that she was a Jew because during those days, people hated the Jews. So fast forward a little while, she was the queen, and during her reign, Mordecai found out that a guy named Haman had petitioned the king to kill all Jews. And that's kind of a big deal, seeing as how Mordecai and Esther were both Jews. So Mordecai went to Esther. He told her about the plot to kill all the Jews and told her that she needed to talk to the king about sparing the Jews' lives. And it's important to mention that in those days, nobody was allowed to just approach the king without being summoned. You know, you don't get to go plead your case to the king. And if they did, well, it cost them their lives. So Esther was afraid. Even though she was the queen, she was his wife, she was still afraid. But Mordecai told Esther, hey, listen, God put you in this position to help save other people, and you got to put your faith over fear. So she did just that, but not before she went on a 3-day fasting with all the other Jews. And during that time, she also prayed for courage. She prayed for more faith, and she prayed for guidance. Esther decided to step out on faith, regardless of whether or not it might cost her life, but she needed to save her people. Now, have you ever heard of a fivefold ministry? Those who are pastors, teachers, leaders, etc. Go to Ephesians 4:11-12 and read about that. As believers, God puts us in certain positions to help save his people. And yeah, sometimes taking up the mantle of God might cost his friends, or it might cost his family. It might cost our lives, just like the chance Esther was taking. And with that in mind, we get scared. But the story of Esther teaches us a valuable lesson. And that lesson is, all you need to do is put your faith over fear and God will take over. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. Putting faith over fear, that's easier said than done. But we got to remember, even though we don't know what the outcome's going to be, could be good, could be bad. Regardless, God's preparing us for our destiny. Kind of like Abraham, who he was instructed to sacrifice his son. And because of his faith, he didn't have to do that. He had no idea what God was planning, but he still obeyed the instructions. He knew God had great things planned for him, and so he believed and he trusted in God. And Abraham and Esther, these stories out of the Old Testament, and their stories in the New Testament as well, they encourage us to do the same. Jesus tells us to do that. Put our faith in God. We're going to talk more about that here in just a minute with our verse of the week. But the story we just talked about, the story of Esther, we see another great example of faithfulness that leads to blessing. Blessing for Esther, for oneself, and for other people too. And that goes for us. When we're faithful, even in the face of danger or adversity, God can use us in powerful ways to make a difference in the world. Go to Esther chapter 8 and read all about that. We, just like Esther, we can be a good force or we can be a bad force, but we can be a good force when we remain faithful to the call that God has put on our lives.
He came running in the house, busting through the door, crying out of control as he fell to the floor. He said, "Dad, I'm so sorry. There's something you must know." His body was shaking, struggling to his feet, confessing his addiction and screaming for relief. He pulled from his pocket the drugs that had taken his control. But Dad reached out his hand and he said,
"Put it right there in the palm of my hand. I know it's gonna hurt, but trust me to the end. We'll be free, and I will be there. Together we will stand, looking back at what you fear.
I'm reaching out my hand.
I'll do anything I can. Put it right there."
Gathered on a hillside near a Middle Eastern town, a guiltless man would soon die in a crowd of evil men as they laid him on the brutal cross. I wonder what went through his mind.
He wasn't being crucified
for anything he'd done.
He was laying down his own life
for the lives of everyone. And as that soldier picked up the spike and he raised that hammer high,
I wonder if Jesus said
to that man,
"Put it right there in the palm of my hand. I know it's gonna hurt, but trust me to the end. You will be free, and I will be there. Trust me to the end. You will be free.
We've been in the Old Testament most of the show this week, but actually our verse of the week this week comes out of the New Testament, out of the book of John, John 14:27. And it kind of goes right along with the topic we've been talking about living on faith, stepping out on faith, you know, taking chances based on our faith and trusting in the Lord to lead the way, because we know he's already out in front of us. But this kind of talks about the benefit. What happens if I do live on faith? You know, we talk about that peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, here we go. This is Jesus talking. John 14:27 goes like this. We'll read it and then we'll talk about it. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the King James Version. The New Living Translation goes like this. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. I love that. You know, the not knowing, the fear of the unknown brings its own kind of terror. Where you all experience it. I know I sure did. When I was in college, when I had to get up and teach a lesson in my college class, I tried to fake sick. I tried everything I could. Glad I did it, because honestly, I'm not afraid anymore. I get up in front of people and talk all the time. Experience makes people less nervous. It makes people less nervous to drive cars. Think about it. When you first learn to drive, it makes people less nervous for everything. Airplanes, even thunderstorms, going to the doctor to get a shot. The experiences themselves don't change. What changes is somebody's expectations. They know what's happening. They know what to expect. They know what's going to happen next. That brings confidence, and it greatly reduces fear. I guess you could say it brings peace. Now, that peace is not the same as the peace that Christ talks about here. The peace that Christ offers is not like that of the world. The best we can expect from the natural world is unfairness and death. You can go to Romans 8:20 or James 4:14 or all kinds of places to read about that. We know what to expect. Even when we try to be moral without God, it leads only to frustration. That's 2 Corinthians 7:10. The peace that Christ here is referring to, the peace that he offers, it refers to a hope and a reassurance that goes beyond what a fallen world can offer. That's Philippians 4:17. It's permanent, it's guaranteed, and it's forever. It's eternal. Hebrews 6:18 and 19, if you want to look that up. Here again, Jesus Christ is encouraging those who follow him, keep your heart from fear and from trouble. And that kind of echoes what he said when he started the message. Immediately after he predicted that Peter would be a coward, that Peter would not stand up for what he believes in. Here again, scholars suggest that Jesus is distinguishing between being troubled in one's spirit, meaning pain and unhappiness, as opposed to being troubled in your heart, meaning fear and despair. Jesus himself was said to have a troubled spirit at times. John 11:33, John 13:21. What he calls for here is not for Christians to be stone-faced. We're allowed to have emotion. We don't have to be inhuman. Rather, what he's saying is to acknowledge the reality of suffering while at the same time trusting in God to make good on his promises. And what is his promise? Well, it's that peace. It's the reassurance. It's the fact that we know, no matter what, he already knows our destiny. He's already planning our future. He knows what's yet to come. He loves us more than we can even imagine. And we've got all that riding on our side. I can tell you this. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, take this opportunity. Invite him into your heart. It will be the best decision that you ever make. I guarantee that one.
The Lord has gone away to prepare a mansion in glory for me. Someday by grace I'll see his face and live eternally. It could be on land, I'll shake his hand in the air, or maybe the sea. I don't care, as long as Jesus is there, it'll be alright, alright with me.
It'll be alright
with me. It'll be
yes, alright with me. Jesus, save me, I know, and I'm ready to go. It'll be alright with me.
It'll be alright
with me. It'll be
yes, alright with me. Jesus, save me, I know, and I'm ready to go. It'll be alright with me.
I've got my sights on the glory lights where I'll lay these burdens down. Jesus made the Calvary one day so I could have a robe and crown. I'm a-packing my things, getting ready to leave, and I feel the heavenly breeze. No matter where this ship pulls, it'll be alright
with me.
It'll be all right
with me. It'll be
all right with me. Jesus, save me. I know and I'm ready to go. It'll be all right
with me.
It'll be all right
with me. It'll be
all right with me. Jesus, save me. I know and I'm ready to go. It'll be all right
with me.
It'll be all right
with me. Yes, it'll be
all right with me. Jesus, save me. I know and I'm ready to go. It'll be all right
with me.
It'll be all right
with me. Yes, it'll be
all right with me. Me. Jesus, save me. I know and I'm ready to go. It'll be all right with me.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed the program this week. I hope you've enjoyed the music. The first song we had was Tim Menzies singing His Name is Jesus, and then the Lefevre Quartet put it right there, and then you just heard the Inspirations with It'll Be All Right With Me. Again, if you've got a request for a song or a guest or a topic to have here on the program, look us up on Facebook under the Good Cheer Program, send a message, comment, whatever it is. We'd be glad to honor any request you might have. And hey, if you've got a question about a personal relationship with Jesus, please don't hesitate. Get in touch. We'd love to talk with anybody about that. Don't forget new episodes every Wednesday, 8 p.m. on the Cool Hits Gospel Channel online at coolhits1057.com or on the Cool Hits app for any device. We also air every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. on Cool Hits 1057 FM in Ashland, Kentucky, and again on Sundays at noon on the online Gospel Channel. All episodes are available on demand at your convenience at coolhits1057.com under podcasts. That's going to do it for this week. We got some great guests coming up, lined up in the next couple weeks. Until then, I'm Chauncey Griffith, and God loves you. He really does. Bye-bye for now.
There's a glory road down here below where the saints of God do bid their souls. It's the path from sin that pilgrims trod.
This holy road
to the city of God.
On the glory road,
there's many a trial.
Keep praying on
each and every mile.
Until the day
we reach our home.
Keep pressing on
the glory road.
The glory road.
The way is dark and often steep, but God the Father watches me. He guides my steps, He leads me on. As I travel along
on the glory road,
there's many a trial.
Keep praying on
each and every mile.
Until the day
we reach our home.
Eternal. Keep pressing on
the glory road.
The glory road.